Star 1310, and we welcome our guest, Ebony Humphrey. Ebony, how are you?
I'm doing good.
You must be excited. This is your first book, and very interesting title. What made you want to do a book about the locker room?
Well, you know what? It's such a misconception about, you know, what goes on, you know, in a locker room from, you know, a natural perspective. You know, and, you know, I really do feel like God put it on my heart, you know, really to, you know, write a book, you know, that gave readers a different, you know, look, you know, or a different angle inside of a locker room in terms of what people deal with, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you know, and so that's why, you know, the book is titled as it is.
Now, Inside a Locker Room, A Journey of Faith and Power of Prayer, one would never think of faith and power of prayer in the locker room. How did you tie all of this in?
Well, you know what? You know, when someone goes on, you know, a practice field or a playing field, you know, it really does take, you know, more than just the natural ability to go out there and perform. You know, it really does take, you know, prayer, you know, and I know firsthand, you know, that my husband, you know, just doesn't go out, he doesn't go on a field to entertain thousands or millions of people. You know, he's going out there to provide for our family, you know, and, you know, the greatest gift of all is him being able to wake up in the morning to do so. And so, you know, incorporating, you know, my prayer life and the journey that, you know, God has allowed for us, you know, to pass through is what lended itself to the book.
How did you survive what we call a tumultuous childhood? Talking about your mom suffering from mental illness, abuse, and even being in the foster care system. Let's talk about that.
Well, you know what? I give all credit to God. I really do, because, you know, when you grow up and you understand that, you know, your life is not perfect and, you know, at any time something could change, you know, something could underwhelm you or overwhelm you and, you know, in a matter of seconds, you know, it really does take having a foundation, you know, that is not rooted in people. You know, what I've come to understand is that people change, their mind states change, you know, their perspective of you change. You know, but one thing that I, you know, after going through all that I've been through is that God never changes. You know, what he says, he always means. There's no shadow of turning or there's no variation in him. And so, you know, really, really knowing that the sky is just not the sky and that he was up there really did keep me guarded and keep me planted and didn't promote me going crazy or losing my mind as a kid.
How is it that you didn't get caught up in the quote, bling bling style of the NFL?
You know what? I thank God for keeping the city, you know, and I say that all the time. If God doesn't keep the city, then all of our prayers are in vain. You know, I thank God, you know, because of where I come from, you know, my path has taught me how to abase and how to abound, you know, how to suffer need, you know, and that means that I know that, you know, at any given time, my situation could change. You know, someone could change their mind about how they feel about my husband, you know, and then, you know, here we go back at square one. And so I've learned to just, you know, keep a linear, you know, focus, and that's to stay true to what I believe. You know, and not let, you know, what somebody else has influence me to go get it, you know, or, you know, what I see on TV, you know, to grab my attention and make me want things that is not going to give me a peace of mind. And so those are some of the things that, you know, has grounded me and not allowed for me to chase after the things of this world.
Speaking of your husband, Tori, how do you deal with it? I know it's easy to deal with anyone when they're winning, but what happens when your husband comes home after a loss?
Well, you know what? Interesting that you say that. You know, my husband is very reserved. You know, you can't really tell when he had a good day, and you can't really tell when he has a bad one. You know, I just, you know, pay attention to the atmosphere. You know, if he comes home and he just wants to sit on the couch, you know, when he sits a certain way, you know, it gives me, you know, insider information as to, you know, maybe I should, you know, fix a certain kind of dinner that he likes to try to help, you know, him to think past what just happened on the field, you know, and I'll sit next to him and, you know, watch maybe another game that's coming on. And, you know, I tell him, you know, I reassure him all the time, you know, that I love him. And, you know, it's not, you know, about, you know, a game, because, you know, you could, you know, have a, you know, a losing season, you know, primarily, and be a wild card team and you win the Super Bowl, you know. So, you know, I really do, you know, encourage him and motivate him outside of football, which, you know, helped him, you know, because I'm not football oriented. I don't love him just for football. I love him because I love him. And so, you know, it helps us to, you know, overcome, you know, losses.